Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to a good weekend of racing are David Jennings and Tom Collins from the Racing Post, plus Paddy Power's super shrewd odds compiler, Ryan McHugh. Here's what we've got coming up. Palace Pier is the poster boy, heads the market for the Lockinge at Newbury on Saturday. There's four races on ITV from there, plus three from Newmarket. We'll see what the lads fancy in each of those. We'll get their selections for the rest of the Saturday action. It's the Belmont tomorrow night as well. Tom Collins is our American expert, so hopefully he's got something for us. And then there's some decent action on Sunday, plus the Naps. Let's go. We'll start with the 150 at Newbury. 6 furlongs is the trip, and it's a listed race, the Carnarvon Stakes, for three-year-olds, just the seven runners. And the boys in blue, I think, have got the favourite, haven't they, Ryan?
They do indeed, Bruce. 7-4, Creative Force heads our betting. Tactical is in there at 2-1. It's 5-1, Happy Roman, 7-1, Spycatcher, and 11-1, and Big Arrest.
Tom, let's start with you. Who do you like here?
Well, I looked at this race yesterday and I was surprised to see that Tactical actually opened at 5-1. I know he's into 2-1 now, but that's much more realistic. I'm not a massive believer of following official ratings in two-year-old and three-year-old races, but in this case, I think Tactical, who is top-rated with a mark of 1-1-2, just deserves to be favourite and should really win. He's £6 superior to Happy Romance, who's second best, and he's been consistently improving since his debut. His only blip came in the Dewhurst, a race where plenty disappointed on really soft ground, the likes of Chindit, who finished fifth in the 2000 Guineas since. He ran really badly that race. Tactical's reappearance victory was a clear career best, I thought. And I know he's moving back down a trip, but last year he proved that he's got the speed for 6 furlongs. He has to give a penalty away, but I just think he's a cut above these and he should win.
Okay, thank you very much, DJ.
I like Happy Romance, Bruce. I thought she did remarkably well to win a Chelmsford. I thought that was a pretty solid race. She was really keen in the early stages, and Sean Levy was exactly where he didn't want to be. She traded, I think, 13-1 in running, and I just thought it was her class that got her home. If you take out her try over seven, which she blatantly didn't stay behind alcohol free at Newbury, like, her form is really, really solid. She's just a really fast sprinter. I think 6 at Newbury is perfect for her. She's rated 106. She does get £3, obviously, the filly's allowance from Tactical. So that brings her within £3 of Tactical. But I just thought at Chelmsford, we just saw a different Happy Romance. And to me, I think she looks the overpriced one. She's 5-1, Paddy Power. I think she's probably a point or 2 points bigger than she should be.
Okay, thank you, DJ. Ryan, who's your selection?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Tom here in regards to Tactical. Yeah, as Tom said, he comes out top rated by £6. And if you look at his run the last day when he won the free handicap over 7 furlongs, he beat Naval Crown that day, who came out and finished fourth in 2000 Guineas. So that form has a strong look to it. He seems versatile. Boys too, so there should be no problem. I think it'll be interesting to see how much rain they get here. That would probably cloud my judgment a little bit with the race, but as far as things go at the moment, Tactical around 2-1 will do for me.
Have you checked the forecast, Ryan? What are you expecting?
11 mils, I think they're due, Bruce. So to get that, it's going to change the ground to proper soft, so from good to soft. So it'll be interesting if they do get all of that. So it might, I might end up not having a bet in the race, but at the moment, Tactical will be my selection.
I love how precise they are. They think they're going to get 11 mils. Do you know what? I played golf on Monday and they said it's going to be dry. It's going to be a bit cold and a bit windy, but it will be dry. It absolutely chucked it down all day. I tell you what, if they tell me there's going to be 11 mils, I'll start putting sun cream on. 225, mile and a half is the trip. It's the Al Rayyan Stakes, formerly known as the Aston Park Stakes. It's a Group 3 for older horses. And we've just got the 6 runners here and an odds-on favourite for Haggis and Crowley.
Yeah, Elazi heads are betting at 10-11. Logician is in there at 15-8 on a bit of a redemption mission. Thunderous is there next in at 7-1. It's 11-1 Ranch Hand and 25-1 and bigger the other two.
This is an interesting test, David Jennings, isn't it? Are you going to be able to solve it for us?
Most straightforward race of the day, Bruce. This I think should be closer to 1-2 than evens Elazi. I thought it was quite spectacular last time over course and distance. As rain forecast, if the rain does arrive, like what he did on soft ground at Newmarket last year was even more spectacular when he won that novice race by 10 lengths. I don't know. I just think he is the typical improving William Haggis, middle distance improving four-year-old, who to me did something we hadn't seen previously last time. I hated Logician's run last year in York. You know, he was 1-3. He was well beaten. He hung in the home straight. He didn't look happy at all. I hated it. And when the entries came out for this race, obviously William Haggis has said all along this was Al-Azi's next target. And I seen Logician was entered. I was praying that Logician would run because he'd make Al-Azi a price. I think Logician obviously was a very, very good horse. He was brilliant. But I just didn't like the run last time. And I'll be with Al-Azi all day long. I think he's one for everybody to put in their multiples.
Excellent. Al-Azi for Al-Azi, according to David Jennings.
Nice.
Do you agree with that, Ryan?
Yeah, full agreement with DJ. Similar to what he said about Logician's run at the back end of last season at York, the fact he hung when he was beaten puts me off big time. I'd imagine it's just a stepping stone to get him started back. He's obviously had his issues. As we only seen him twice last year and both at the back end of the season. So of the rest, I don't think there's much that'll be able to pull it up to Al-Azi. I actually think Al-Azi could end up being a top-class middle-distance horse this year. This is obviously only a Group 3 today, but I think he could mix at a Group 1 level. His rating would suggest that anyway, but he's a £3 penalty to contend with. But the fact he's raised fit over his main rival in Logician is a big plus as well. And I think he's on the up, whereas Logician might be on the way down after this.
And Ryan, with the market here, I mean, DJ says that Al-Azi should be nearer twos on. Would you expect that 10 to 11 that you've currently got to shrink, or is it one of those ones where they might pile into the other one, Logician?
When I was looking at the prices earlier, I thought probably Logician would drift. He could get out to 5-2, 11-4, and the most likely scenario is that Al-Azi would shorten up. I'd say he could SP maybe 8-11, 4-6, but I can't imagine he'd go up too much shorter than that just with the penalty.
Thank you, Ryan. Tom, do you agree with the lads?
Yeah, three selections for Al-Azi. There's only six runners in this field, but there should be a pretty end-to-end gallop, which is what you want. You don't want these races becoming a dawdle. The likes of Ranch Hand and Thunderous in the lineup should make sure there's a decent pace early, and that should suit Al-Azi. I thought he was potentially flattered last time on his reappearance. They went hard early, but the second and third came from horses that raced prominently. He was the only one to make ground up, so potentially he was flattened. Some of those in behind may have just disappointed that day. I just think he's the best horse in the race. You know, Logician was a very good three-year-old, but I read a quote last year, I think it was, where John Gosden said that he was in intensive care and he almost died, which is obviously a brilliant story that they've managed to get him back and race him. But he was just disappointing in two runs last year. Even the race he won, a two-runner race, he wasn't the same Logician. I just think Al-Azi's the best horse in this race right now.
Okay, thank you very much, chaps. Three very solid, confident votes for Al-Azi. Let's move on to the 3 o'clock at Newbury on Saturday. It's the Bet Victor London Gold Cup, a handicap over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. And every single year when we preview this show, Paul Keighley always says, watch out for the London Gold Cup. It is a race that throws up good horses. In the last 10 years, Al Kazim has won it, Time Test has won it, Defoe, Communique, Hebben. There's some really, you know, it's a launching pad for really good horses. So it's a race well worth watching to see what comes out of it. There's a lot of unexposed talent here. And it's wide open as well, Ryan.
Yeah, it's a tricky looking contest. Highland Rocker and Tamborada both head our market at the moment at 4-1. It's 9-2, Bay Bridge. River Alwyn is in there 11-2, and then it's 8-1 and bigger the rest, Bruce.
And we'll stick with you, Ryan. Who do you like?
Yeah, we're paying 4 places in retail here at the retail customers. And I think Dubawi Sands might be one if you're getting the 4 places for Roger Vernon and Andrea Azzini. He didn't have to improve to win a novice event at Ripon last time, over 1.25 miles. He saw with the trip well. Now, the second was beaten in a bad race at Chelmsford since, so that's not ideal. But he does get plenty of weight here off kind of his main opposition towards the top of the weights. He's only carrying 8.6. So I think the way he won the last day, I think there's plenty more improvement to come from. He ran around a little bit. So I think Dubawi Sands, if he can get the 4 places in retail, I think he's a decent each way bet around 8-1.
Blimey, I don't know where my nearest Paddy Power shop is. I'll have to look it up. Tom Collins, who do you like in the London Gold Cup?
I think this edition is going to be as good as previous years. I reckon there's going to be a vast number of subsequent winners. Oz Legend and Highland Rocker are both in my tracker, but so is Bay Bridge, who I'm going to side with here. He ran in a couple of really hot novice races last year, those two races have produced 10 subsequent winners between them. So they really were top class affairs. And the Kempton race was especially deep. The winner was subsequent UAE Derby winner, Rebels Romance. And the rear opposing Highland Rocker finished third there. Baybridge was fourth. Baybridge proved that he trained on when he romped home by, I think it was 5 lengths on his return at Newcastle. And although he's switching to turf, he has a pedigree to suggest that he may be better on the grass than all weather surface. I'm pretty sure a mark of 90 underestimates him. The whole field is likely to be well treated. So hopefully he has the most in hand.
Okay, we've got a vote for Dubawi Sands. We've got one for Baybridge. And what about you, David? This is potentially another race, as I said, isn't it, in the setup that could throw up a lot of really good horses, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's always a cracker. It's one that you really look forward to. I think Tamburada is very good, Bruce. He only won by a neck at Doncaster, but it was a kind of a real classy performance, I thought. It looked like he was going to get kind of gunned down by Annadale close home. And Annadale, who was second that day, won next time out. Fairmack, who was third, was just beaten next time out as well. There were only a couple of runners. I think there were only 5 runners in it that day at Doncaster, but it looked a reasonably strong race for the small field. And I just loved his attitude. He's got a mark of 99, so he's gone up £8 for winning by a neck. And you might think that's harsh, but I don't know. I just think he's a colt that's only going to do enough. And I wouldn't be surprised if, only for the fact he's rated 99, he obviously was rated 91 when he won last time. I wouldn't have been surprised if he went for a Derby trial. I think he could have been that good. And I think everything about this race should suit him. A strong pace. He's a real tough nut, so he is. But the one thing that I did get wrong is that he's already been gelded. So he obviously wouldn't be a Derby horse. But I think Tamburada is going places. I think 99 is not the ceiling of his ability. And I'd be pretty sweet on him.
You did well to correct that before this went out. You'd have had people driving you mad on Twitter, wouldn't you, DJ? That was a good
Yeah, and I get enough abuse on Twitter anyway.
No, you don't. You're loved.
Blimey, I am not.
Yes, you are. All I ever see is you getting absolutely loved. Do you really get grief on Twitter?
Yes, I do. You fat so-and-so, you wouldn't tip nothing, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I do.
Oh, you get a lot of love as well, DJ.
Of course you do. Yeah.
Focus
you
on
to,
the positive.
You have to take it. You have to take it.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, that's the world we live in. Right, let's focus on the race of the day, the 3:35. It's the Al Shikab Lock-In Stakes over a mile. 12 runners go to post, but it's not very competitive because the classy Palace Pier dominates the market, Ryan.
Yeah, we have a very good offer for online customers here, Bruce. We're paying 4 places to online Paddy Power customers. There's only 12 runners, as you know. 8 to 13, Palace Pier heads our market at the moment. Lopi Fernandez at 11 to 2. It's 15 to 2, my Oberon, 8 to 1 top rank, and 14 to 1 and bigger remainder.
Excellent. 4 places. And that is also available on the Racing Post app, where you can bet direct as well as study form. Okay, excellent. With that in mind, let's see what the lads fancy. We'll start with Tom Collins.
Well, for win purposes, I think Palace Pier is obviously going to win. I believe he's the best miler in Europe, definitely better than the US contingent, probably better than those across the world, although there are going to be people out there that are claiming that Golden 60 is better. He may well be, but Palace Pier is top tier. I don't really see a scenario in which he loses. However, with 4 places, you can't really back a 4-6 shot or whatever he's going to be. I think Century Dream is the interest in each way play for Simon and Ed Crisford. He ran his best race last year on his reappearance at this track in the Diomed Stakes when he won easily. He was again very impressive in the Celebration Mile after a blip. I just think you want to catch him fresh. And at a double figure price, Century Dream is definitely one that can hit the frame, but Palace Pier for win purposes.
16 to 1 with Paddy Power. 4 places, Century Dream. That's Tom's selection. Who's David's selection?
Bruce, the Palace Pier win. But I am extremely excited from a place perspective about Safe Voyage here, Bruce. And I'd advise people maybe to back Safe Voyage without Palace Pier, back him each way, maybe 3 places and 4 places. The rain, hopefully it comes, because obviously he just absolutely loves it. The softer, the better for Safe Voyage, but he's very ground adaptable. The key thing for me with Safe Voyage is, first time out last year, he was beaten a neck by Space Blues. That turned out to be cracking form. It had some good horses behind, like Happy Power and Yaft and a few others. So that was first time out in 2020. First time out in 2019, he won at Haydock. First time out in 2018, he won by 6 lengths at Haydock. First time out in 2016, or in 2017, he won first time out as well when he won at Newcastle. So he's basically either won, he's won first time out for 3 of the last 4 seasons, and he's been beaten a neck by Space Blues in the other. So you know he goes well fresh. You know he's going to handle the track. He finished last season like brilliantly. He won a Group 2 at Leopardstown. Then he was just beaten, like he was beaten the guts of a half a length in the Prix de la Forêt by one master. And then he went over to Keeneland. But, you know, Keeneland was never going to be his thing because he wants a little bit of cut in the ground. And nothing went right because he was hampered as well. If you can get 16 to 1 each way about Safe Voyage, I would say mop it up.
Okay. DJ, there will be people who, before they pull the trigger on a big bet on Palace Pirate odds on, will just want to know if his run in the QE2 can be safely kind of explained away. So can you do the honours?
Well, he lost a shoe anyway, for starters. So that's, I know people say it mightn't make a difference, but like you've seen when Frankie looked down, he looked as if something was just not quite right entering the final furlong. And then obviously the vet checked over afterwards and he lost a shoe. But I think like, it's not as if he ran deplorably either. It was at the end of a long season. He'd been brilliant all season. Yes, he was third to the Reverend and Roseman, who I actually think is a good horse. He didn't run deplorably. Like, he wasn't tailed off. He was third. He was probably a little bit stale. He's the best miler around by a mile. And I'd be disappointed if he didn't win by a couple of lengths.
He's the best miler around by a mile. So when he crosses the line, they'll still be coming out the stalls. Ryan, who do you like?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with DJ in regards to Safe Voyage. I think DJ kind of mentioned the points I had about him, the fact he goes well fresh, he handles the ground. There's a lot of positives he has, and especially with the four places, he's the one I'd be on each way. I do think Palace Pier will get turned over at a short price this season over a mile. Like, he looks to me like he's crying out for a mile and a quarter. I just think he's slightly vulnerable. I know the lads, at the moment, he probably is the best miler, but maybe a little bit quicker ground on a speed track, I think that'd be the day to take him on. Now, obviously, the ground's going to go a little bit soft tomorrow, so that's going to help him. There's no real front runner in this race either, so they might go steady enough, which won't suit him either because it might turn into a little bit of a sprint. But on this ground, he might get away with it. I don't know if I'd be laying him tomorrow, given the strength of the opposition. Lopi Fernandez is second in, like, and he won a race he should really be winning easy the last day at Leopardstown. I'm not sure a mile on this sort of ground is what he wants either. So Palace Pier is obviously the deserving favourite, but I just have a slight question mark myself that a mile is just, I think he wants further myself. So Safe Voyage would be the each way play for me in the race.
Okay, chaps. Do you know what I'm going to do with four places? I'm going to have a little bit on Pogo each way at 40 to 1. Right, let's look at Newmarket next.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, welcome back. Let's look at three ITV races at Newmarket on Saturday afternoon. We start with the 205. It's the Betway Fairway Stakes over a mile and two. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 go to post. What's the latest betting, please, Ryan?
Yeah, the impeccably bred John Leeper is heads our market at the moment. 6 to 4. It's 9 to 4. Fancy Man. 11 to 2. Tasman Bay. 6 to 1 and bigger than the remaining three.
DJ, do you know how he got his name, this horse?
John Dunlop, isn't it?
Yeah, John Leeper Dunlop. Yeah, yeah. Trained by Son Ed, of course. I knew you'd know that, but perhaps not everyone does. But anyway, okay. Will it win, DJ?
Yeah, I think he will. I know you can get carried away about, you know, performances on the all-weather, and Newcastle is a funny track. But for Holly Doyle to do what she did last time at Newcastle, I thought, like, I'd say a furlong out, maybe a furlong and a half out, I was going, this is one of the worst rides I've seen in a long, long time. Mock to Sab looked like he got first run and quickened a few lengths clear. And you're kind of going, what is she doing? Like, why is she doing this? Like, this is ridiculous. He won by 4 lengths. He would have won by 14 lengths in another furlong. It was incredibly impressive. Now, I don't know how good this horse is, but to do, like, Newcastle is a hard track to make up ground, and to do it in the manner that John Leeper did was seriously impressive. It's one of these ones where I can't understand why he's not odds on, but I probably won't back him just because it's only one probable piece of evidence. But I have to say, anybody that hasn't seen him win at Newcastle, just watch it again, because that was some performance.
Okay, DJ likes the favourite. Do you agree with him, Ryan?
No, not really. I thought myself looking at 6 to 4 was on the short side, to be honest. He obviously done it well the last day, but as DJ, like, it's a conditions event, or it's a novice event at Newcastle. I know Newcastle has thrown up decent horses in the past, but when you look at the likes of Tasman Bay's form in this race here, Like, he's only three and a quarter lengths behind Hurricane Lane, who obviously won the Dante. And then the second horse came out and franked the form a bit too. So I think his overall form is stronger, and he's 11-2 as opposed to John Leeper being 6-4. So it's a no-brainer for me to have a bet on Tasman Bay in this. He looks a type that should handle the track fine. He looks a nice, balanced individual. So the difference in the two price between John Leeper and Tasman Bay look off to me. So he'd do for me at around 11-2.
Okay, two very contrasting views about John Leeper. What's your impression of him, Tom Collins?
I'm very much in the same camp as Ryan here. I think he's too short, 6-4. I didn't even think he should be favourite, to be honest. Yes, he was very impressive at Newcastle. The time stacked up well against a couple of handicaps later on the card. But at the same time, it just wasn't a great race. And on RPRs, he has plenty to find with the likes of Fancy Man, for example, who probably should be favourite. I mean, the winner of this race in the last 10 years has needed to run to about 105. Fancy Man's already done that twice. The only issue with him is that he has to give weight away to his rivals. I think it's a trappy race. I want to go for one at a bigger price, although I do think Fancy Man should be favourite. And the one at bigger price is See the Shells. Now, everyone writes off these Mark Johnson horses after they make one bad start. And yes, his Sandown effort, his only run on turf, was pretty poor. He finished fourth, a distant fourth at that. But that day, anything that finished in the frame was racing on the pace. Nothing was coming from behind at all. And See the Shells just didn't fire. His previous two efforts at Wolverhampton on the all-weather were exceptionally impressive. He posted really quick sectionals on his final two furlongs on his second start. Okay, he did get an easy lead and they went slow early, so you are expecting him to finish the race pretty powerfully. But I was really impressed with his big stride and how he hit the line. I'm willing to excuse him that Sandown effort as well. Mark Johnson horses don't often run two races alike. And See the Shells has got a big future ahead of him. He's a scopey sort. I think 9-1 is a massive price in a race where you can make a solid case for plenty.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to seeing how that one pans out. Let's see what happens in the 240. It's over 7 furlongs. It's the Betway King Charles. The second stakes, it's a listed race. And again, 6 go to post. Ryan, take us through Paddy Power's latest betting and then tell us who you fancy.
Yeah, Belosa is 6-4 in here. Cloudbridge 7-2 along with Devil Walla. It's 4-1 fundamental and then it's 14-1 and bigger the rest. Looking at the betting, I thought Belosa is obviously the right favourite in the race given the 7-length debut win. But I wouldn't be backing her at that sort of price. There doesn't look to be much strength in the opposition though. So if she can step forward even a little from her debut run, she'll be tough to beat, getting the fillies allowance. There's a much of a muchness with the opposition. It's just a fact 6-4. It doesn't really appeal to me at that sort of price. So it'll be a race I'll be watching, but the most likeliest winner is the favourite Belosa.
Tom, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty average bunch. There's a pretty average bunch in this race. I'd be very disappointed if Belosa didn't follow up a 7-length maiden victory. When do you ever see 7-length victories at Newmarket on debut? You don't. She showed a really high cruising speed that day, quicker when asked. She didn't even handle the undulations very well, but she won with so much in hand. I think the failing to handle the undulations was down to greenness rather than not liking the track. So I wouldn't put that against her now she's back at Newmarket. Her RPR of 96 suggests she doesn't have even that much to find on this bunch, even though they've had much more experience than her. The time stacked up well against the Wood Ditton, which is often one of the maidens that everyone hypes about in the early part of the flat season. Jane Chappell Hyam also said that Belosa outworked the 104 rated Ambassadorial ahead of her debut. So she's clearly doing it at home as well as on the track. I just think Belosa's better than these. You know, Devil Walla, they're going for blinkers, looking for some sort of improvement. I thought he was very disappointing in the Guineas, albeit he was a big price. Cloudbridge has a tendency to race keenly, can hang. His US pedigree suggests that synthetic surfaces would be better for him than turf. And fundamental, probably the chief danger, but I just think he's crying out for a mile or further. So Belosa for me.
And for DJ?
No, I don't like Belosa. I thought it was a desperate race that she won at Newmarket. The second was hammered next time. The third was beaten last night. The fourth was beaten next time. The eighth was well beaten. The ninth was beaten. The tenth was beaten. I just think it was a terrible race. And she was quite professional in the early stages. She was quite free, I know, but she kind of had the rail and then she drifted left in the closing stages. Yes, she was still unfurnished, but I thought she knew enough to win a moderate race quite impressively. I think Cloudbridge has done more than enough to win a race like this. I thought over 6 at Kempton, which wouldn't have been ideal. I thought that was a real good performance, given what Cloudbridge had done at York in that Group 3, just did everything wrong, pulled hard and gave William Buick a nightmare that day. I thought it was much more like it from Cloudbridge last time when we saw him last in September. I'm very surprised there's so much between Belosa and Cloudbridge in the market. You've got to remember, Cloudbridge is rated 103, and he beat Soft Whisper on his debut at Leicester. Soft Whisper is pretty decent. I think 7-2 is more than fair about Cloudbridge.
What's wrong with the Devil?
I don't know. I don't know, Bruce. Better the Devil, you know, is it?
Wait, well, to be honest, that's absolutely right. It's a very clever line now. I mean, you know, he's got decent form in better company than this. He ran really well for a long way in the Guineas and obviously faded. I think I'm all over the
game. He ran the cracker in the Dewhurst.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he did. So that'll do for me. Right then, our final TV race takes place at 3:15 at Newmarket. It's the Heed Your Hunch at Betway Handicap. It's over 6 furlongs, and this looks trickier than the previous two, doesn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, this is not a race I'll be getting involved in. I'll be listening to the lads for their thoughts. Jumbie heads our market at 16-5 ahead of Perotto, who's in there at 11-2. It's 13-2, Seven Brothers, 15-2, First Folio, 8-1, Barney's Bay, and then bigger prices the remainder.
Well, Ryan's let this one through to the keeper. Let's see if DJ can convince him there is some value in the field.
I thought Perotto would probably win. I thought it was much more like it last time, beaten by Creative Force in a four-runner race. But I liked the way he kind of hit the line there. I thought it was a decent performance. He'd been disappointed. He'd finished the season a little bit disappointingly, even though he ran well at Newmarket. He was disappointing in the Group 2 at Doncaster. But I just thought there was more sign of life last time. And off of market 95, I think Connections think he's a bit better than that. And Ray Dawson takes off £3 as well. So just about Perotto for me, Bruce.
Okay, 16 runners and 5 places with Paddy Power. That's available at racingpost.com or the Racing Post app, or, of course, Paddy Power's products. Tom Collins.
Yeah, the 5 places are crucial, I think, in this race because it's just looks like an absolute minefield. And those towards the head of the market obviously have stronger claims, like some Jumbie and Perotto. But with the 5 places and the fact that there are so many horses in here that have been disappointing or could potentially be well handicapped, I want to find one at a bigger price. Jadwell was the one that stuck out to me at around 14-1, I believe. His best effort at 2 came on the July course at Newmarket, obviously not the Rolling Mile. And he hasn't been disgraced on his last 2 all-weather starts either. He bumped into a really good horse called Dragon Symbol, who's unbeaten in 4 starts for Archie Watson at Kenton 2 starts back. And then he was just pulled too hard last time, raced too freely, and was only beaten a narrow margin. By far the best horse in that race that day. Should have rewarded punters, but he didn't. Faster pace will clearly suit him, given he's got plenty of early dash. He's only got 8 stone 3 on his back. And Kieran Fallon, who unfortunately had to quarantine to try and ride the Learjet, and then the Learjet got taken out, so he missed the ride in Oxted. He's back in the saddle on Jadwell, so hopefully he'll provide him with a timely winner.
Thank you very much, chaps. Loads more weekend wisdom coming right up.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, we've done the TV action. Let's look and see what else the lads fancy on Saturday. We've got Thirsk and Bangor and Navan in Ireland. There's also Utoxeter and Doncaster in the evening, plus all the undercards to the TV meetings. So, David Jennings, where else should we be looking for some value?
I'm going to give you a couple at Navan, Bruce. It's a later race now. In the 5:25, it's the second division of the 1-mile 5 handicap. Swell time for Joe Murphy and Gary Carroll, I think, is well handicapped here off 54. He's been a little bit disappointed, but his last 2 starts over hurdles were in a hot novice handicap at Punchestown, where he was only beaten 11 lengths into 6th by Cousin Harry off mark of 120. And then he was 4 to Jesse Evans, who's Galway hurdle bound at Killarney last Sunday in a real lucrative handicap hurdle. That was a real good run. He's rated 118 over hurdles. He's only 54 on the flat. And I think a test like this is ideal for swell time. He should be hard to beat. He should be there, but thereabouts. And he'll be an each-way price in the 5:25 in Navan. And one that would be a much bigger price, but I'm convinced he'll run well. The favourite in the 5:55, the maiden that closes the card, is likely to be Modus Operandi, who's rated 90. And McPherson is in there for Jessica Harrington. But I think number 12, Sil Ayali for Mick Halford and Ronan Whelan. I think this colt will run well. He was only 9th on debut at Nace, but he was really green that day to Dublin Journal. The third home that day was Baron Z, who won a maiden impressively at Dundalk during the week. He was also trained by Mick Halford as well. And Mick's tend to come on a lot for their first run. And this silly alley, I just thought in the closing stages, Niall McCullough kind of cuddled him home. And I'd say there's loads of improvement to come from Silly Alley. Now, this could be 20-1, but I think he'll run well. I think he'll take a big leap forward from his first run. He's hard to pronounce, but Silly Alley, number 12 in the finale at Navan.
There's a horse in that race that's named after one of my all-time favourite songs.
Seattle Sound?
Fake Plastic Trees.
Oh, never heard
Radiohead,
of
Radiohead, one of their great songs. I'd like to say he ran green last time, but he's had two runs and doesn't look very good, so he could be an even bigger price than your one. Okay, Ryan, what else have you got for us?
Yeah, small bit of bad news for DJ. I just have the one on Saturday, and it's swell time as well. I'll be compiling the race, so I don't think we get much.
Oh, dear.
It's a 20-runner handicap, but he could go off 5-2.
There's about 175 races in Ireland, England on Saturday, and you had to pick that one.
When you said he had a couple of Navan, I was saying, oh, please don't be swell time. Then he went to 25. And I was like, if he has missed swell time here, well, then it's something.
I'm sure he'd be 13-2 anyway, won't he?
Apparently not.
Yeah. 5-2. I'm just looking for the race here. There's not one. I think Believe Jack is the only interesting horse other than swell time in the race. Like Trump Card has a good run the last day. He's now an 8-year-old. The rest of them are pure muck.
So what price do you think he'll be?
Maybe 11-4, something like that.
Ah, would you stop?
I'd back him at 11-4. I'd back him at 11-4. Did you look at the race, DJ?
I know, but I studied it. I'm doing tipping for the paper tomorrow.
It's a horrendous race. He should win, and that's the only horse I'm going to give on elsewhere.
Poor old DJ. Thought he'd sussed one. He's going to tip it.
And like Bowers, like they literally have the market. So like they'll come out first and Ryan will go 5-2 and everybody else will go 5-2. Whereas
I'll wait till half nine, DJ. I'll wait till half nine. I'll sit there with one race not up for tomorrow and see what the rest want to do.
Unlucky, DJ. Good sus, mate. Righto, you're not going to tip swell time in the 5:25 at Navan, are you, Tom?
No, I'm not. I've got three for you. Two in the US. It's obviously Preakness Night at Pimlico. But I'll go for the confident UK one first, which is Boundless Power, who will be my good thing in the punt. He runs in the 1:35 at Thirsk. He was placed on all bar one of his starts in Ireland, albeit he was disqualified on one occasion. He's just shown rapid improvement in two starts since joining Mick Appleby, who loves these kind of picking up these cheap horses in training. Sale of horses who just improve with every single start. He won with far more in hand than the 2-length winning margin at Nottingham last time. He should be a good thing off £7 higher, I think.
Just tell us quickly about the punt there, Tom.
Yeah, it's a daily tipping piece on the Racing Post website and the app. Goes live at 6 p.m. every day and with my tips, basically.
Excellent, and they're always well worth checking out. Now then, as you say, big night over in America, so you've got a couple for us there, have you?
Yeah, so we'll start with the Preakness, the second leg of the Triple Crown. Racing's kind of been in the catch-22 with the Preakness. I'm sure everyone's heard the story about Medina Spirit and the failed drugs test, Bob Baffert, etc. But Medina Spirit is allowed to run in the race. So personally, I don't think he should be in the race. And for that reason, I want to be opposing him. I don't really want to be celebrating Medina Spirit winning. Although he is obviously the most likely winner. He won the Kentucky Derby well from the front. He's got a favourable speed scenario as well. He should go straight to the front again. So he's the worthy favourite, but I can't support him. I want to take him on with Midnight Bourbon, who had a terrible trip in the Kentucky Derby when ridden by Money Mike Smith, a jockey that I do not get on very well with at all. I think he's pretty much gone at the game, to be honest. He gets a big rider upgrade with Ired Ortiz, one of the best riders in the world, now taking the ride on Midnight Bourbon. Hopefully, he'll have him a lot closer to the pace, to the two Bob Baffert runners up front. And about 6-1, he's probably the play, but I'm a bit worried that Medina Spirit's going to win again, and then it's just going to be bad news story all over social media. But yeah, and then on the undercard.
Sorry, just in case anyone's wondering, that's the 11:47 at Pimlico Preakness.
Yeah.
Okay, and on the undercard?
I mean, whether or not it will go off at 11:47 is to
be
seen.
They tend not to, don't they?
Yeah, the thing is, like most US race courses go off dramatically late with these big events, but Pimlico, the other day, they went off half an hour early for a couple of races. So
can't do that.
I know. Yeah, it was ridiculous. There was some weather coming in, some bad weather. So they were sending off their races ridiculously early. Wow. And
And obviously no one over here knows, because, you know, it's not like you're watching it on TV and you're getting the whole build up. But so keep an eye on the timing there.
Can you imagine racing Twitter if a race went off half an hour early over here? Oh my goodness.
It would go off in fire. And then on the undercard, the 6:28 at Pimlico, the Gallarette Stakes. The favourite in this race is going to be Mean Lady for Grand Motion. She's a really exciting filly, but she's coming off a layoff. I'm going to oppose her with Flighty Lady for Chad Brown. This filly formerly raced in France. She finished third in the 2019 Prix Marcel Boussac at Longchamp before she shipped stateside. Her US debut victory at Aqueduct is really impressive. She came from off the speed. I ride aboard again. Hopefully it'll be a double for him on the night.
Thank you very much, Tom. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Ryan McHugh.
Yeah, I'll jump in ahead of DJ. If he was thinking of napping swell time, I'm going to nap him in the 5:25 and nap.
My goodness.
He's
singing about a win now, you know. It's going to be odds on. Tom Collins, what's your
nap? I was fully expecting about 13-2. I am going to go for...
I don't remember you being called Tom Collins, but go on.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Thank you for DJ. Go, Joe.
No, beauty and age goes first.
No, Dick, go on, David.
Tamburad at 3 o'clock, Newbury, the London Cup.
Thank you very much. And Tom.
Boundless Power in the 1:35 at Thirsk.
Thank you very much indeed, gents. Right then, on Sunday, it's not the most stellar Sunday, but there's some decent stuff. I think there's a couple of decent races at Nace, which DJ will tell us about. Also in Ireland, we're at Wexford. And then we've got Ripon and Stratford over here. And obviously, we've also got the French Guineas as well. So it actually is a lot better than I thought. Right then, tell us what you fancy on Sunday, David Jennings.
Okay, I'll be as quick as I can. Catamosto goes in the 5-furlong race at 3:10. Very impressive first time out. Likely to be a very short price for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore. The 3:40 is the Soul Power Sprint Stakes. Quite an interesting little race here. There's a lot of real kind of speedy sorts here. Make a Challenge has been disappointing. I think Urban Beat shaped well on his reappearance for Johnny Murtagh and the next big thing in jockey circles, Ben Cohen. I think Urban Beat can win the 3:40. The 4:10 is the Philly Sprint. It's a Group 3. Contarelli Chappelle just looked amazing last time, so she's probably likely to win for Aidan O'Brien and Roy Moore. The 4:40 is the Lacking Stakes. It's a Group 3. Now, I like this race. I think this is a lovely makeup to it. You've got Law of Indices, A Case of You, both stepping down into sprinting. But I think there's going to be a lot more to come from Lipizzana this year. Aidan O'Brien and Reimer are the four-timer at Leopardstown last Sunday. I think they could do something similar at Nace. Lipizzana was third.
That was the nap of the podcast, you tipping that.
Lipizzana?
New kit and rock, yeah.
Oh, really? Have I tipped it before?
I'm pretty sure you have, yeah.
Have I? Oh, I didn't even know that.
I'd be amazed if you haven't.
Maybe I have. But I just think with Lipizzana, he kind of swerved at the start and he didn't really have a hard race. And I know he was disappointing. He was 6-5 favourite. He was beaten 2.25 lengths. Measure Magic was very impressive last time out at Cork and is, you know, a single figure price with some firms for the Commonwealth Cup. I think Lipizzana will take a big leap forward and will win the 4:40. That's the Lacking Stakes. And the final race on the card is the 5:10. It's a listed race. And the one I like here is Admiral Nelson. Again, they could have 4 or 5 winners, Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien on Sunday. Admiral Nelson, I thought, was potentially Aidan O'Brien's best 2-year-old last season. Nothing went right after he made a brilliant debut at the Curra. He was very disappointing after that all season. But I just think those 2-year-olds that disappointed last season that you thought were really good early on, give them another chance because it was obviously a rush campaign. They've had a whole winter now. And I still think Admiral Nelson is a good horse. So that's in the 5:10.
All right, hang with us, DJ, because I'm going to come back to you for French Guineas in a minute. Ryan, what have you got for us on Sunday?
Yeah, it's a good card. As DJ went through most of the races in Nace, I'm looking forward to seeing Contrelli Chapel. But from a punting perspective, I'm going to Wexford to the 2:25 race. I think Master Cornwall will be able to win that weak-looking handicap hurdle. He's only £2 higher than when he made his handicap debut last time. He's only beaten a couple of lengths at Tremor that day, having travelled really well into the race. He gets the 4-year-old allowance here. There doesn't look to be much competition against him, and I think he'll take beating in that 2:25 in Wexford.
Okay, and Tom?
Yeah, just the one, 2:05 at Ripon, the first division of the 6-furlong handicap. I'm going to be with a horse called Unashamed, who's had 4 starts so far, all on the all-weather for Grant Tuer. He's having a phenomenal season. He's gone under the radar, but he's had 12 winners from 62 runners. £1 level stakes profit of £11.32, 19% strike rate, ready for a career best, but definitely going to post a career best this year of winners. Unashamed, going to improve for the switch to turf and won really well on handicap debut last time.
Okay, before we go, we must look at the French guineas on Sunday at Longchamp. We've got both the 1,000 and 2,000 guineas winners in action. We'll start with the 250. It's the Colts. It's the Poule d'Essai de Poulain. And St Mark's Basilica, who missed Newmarket for this, is in action against Poetic Flair, who is back out and looking to press up the excellent impression he made at Newmarket. Do we have any betting yet on this, Ryan?
There should be some there. You just come back to me in a sec, Bruce, and I'll have them for you.
Okay, mate. Well, who's got a view on it? DJ, we'll start with you. You've got a view on everything. So who wins the French game?
Yeah, it's very interesting. St. Mark's Basilica obviously was earmarked for this. He comes here fresher. Like, if Poetic Flair hadn't ran in the Guineas and he came straight here, like St. Mark's Basilica would be way shorter. Obviously, that's kind of a ridiculous thing to be talking about because Poetic Flair did go out and win the Guineas. But it's a big ask. I don't think any horse in the history of racing has ever won the English and French 2,000 guineas. Special Duty did the double in the 1,000 guineas, even though she was beaten in both of them, and she got both of them in the steward's room. But it's a big ask for Poetic Flair, and given that St. Mark's Basilica comes in a little bit fresher, I'd go for him.
Okay, Tom?
Yeah, it's not a race that I've had much time to look at so far, but Parchamin for Andre Farb, I thought was a very interesting runner. He was impressive in two starts at two. Disappointing on a seasonal reappearance, but he just seemed a bit flat that day. Maybe needed a run. The quick ground might not have suited him either. I imagine he's going to put in a much better performance this time. And Andre Farb's obviously won this race three times in the last 6 years with the likes of Persian King, Victor Adorum, and Make Believe. So he wouldn't be aiming Parchamin at the race for absolutely no reason.
Okay, have you managed to find anything for us, Ryan?
I have indeed, Bruce. Yeah, 9-4 Poetic Flair, 5-2 St. Mark's, but still again 8-1 and Parchamin, along with others there, as Tom's mentioned. Parchman's in there 8-1.
Who do you like, Ryan?
Yeah, I take on board what DJ said stats wise. But Jim Bulger's horses are very tough. They like the Mark Johnson of Ireland. And 9-4 seems fair. So I'd be with him if I was on that race.
Okay, and the fillies are in action at 3.25. Mother Earth, very impressive, obviously, at Newmarket. What price is she to follow up?
9-4. Philomene is in there at 7-2. 13-2, Miss Amulet, 7-1, Sweet Lady, and 10s and bigger rest.
This will be interesting, DJ.
Yeah, I thought she'd win, though. I thought she was a bit of value.
She being...
I think Aidan O'Brien when she... by Mother Earth, sorry. I think Aidan O'Brien... With fillies, I love it when he kind of runs them back really quick. And he tends to get on a roll with them. And I think he's got a load of lovely three-year-old fillies this year. Like Santa Barbara, I just love that run in the Guineas. I just thought she was really green. And, you know, she's going to be very hard to beat in the Oaks. But I think Mother Earth, is if he's going to France with her, he must be extremely happy with her. She must have bounced out of the Newmarket really well. I'm surprised she's not a bit shorter.
Okay. Tom, do you agree that Mother Earth will follow up here?
Yes, I do. I think the booking of Christophe Simeon's good as well. And last season, she handled plenty of racing. She had 8 races as a juvenile. So I don't think that the quick turnaround would be a problem at all. I was really impressed with the way she quickened under Frankie at Newmarket earlier this month. And I think she'll back up.
Excellent. And Ryan?
Yeah, wouldn't have a strong view on the race, Bruce. But Mother Earth, again, I don't want to put up favours all the time. But Mother Earth around 9-4 looks decent enough value, given the fact she's handled soft ground in the past. It's going to be a little bit more testing than it was at Newmarket. But the French form wouldn't be good enough to put up any of them. So.
Marvellous stuff. Thank you very much to Ryan, to Tom and to DJ. Thank you very much for listening. As always, Maddie is back on Monday to dissect the weekend action and to look ahead at what we've got coming up. And we're back next Friday for another Racing Postcast.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.